Coming up on today's show.
And I started thinking, I said, what resonates with me? What has helped me? What leadership examples have I seen? And it just kept going back to Notre Dame, where I did my graduate work. And I said, this is something that I want to explore.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up on the website for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode is released. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really, really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. If you are watching NFL and or NHL games these days, you are watching a likely first ballot Hall of Famer in each of those leagues playing out what could possibly be the last season of their career. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers will turn 42 years old at the beginning of December, and Washington Capitals left wing Alexander Ovechkin is 40 years old. There are two players on the Steelers roster who are 22 years old, and similarly, there is a player on the Capitals roster who is 20 years old, meaning that in both cases, there is a 20-year difference in age. It's a combination of the wisdom of a veteran and the youthful energy of players just starting their careers. In other words, we should never judge someone based on their age and discount what they can bring to a situation that contributes to the overall greater good. Looking at that through a Christian lens, we turn to Scripture, and in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29 says, quote, "The glory of the young is their strength, and the dignity of the old is gray hair." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest specializes in covering Notre Dame athletics using emerging media technologies. He has been recognized as the Indiana Sportscaster of the Year by the National Sports Media Association, from which he also received the association's National Powerade Award for his audio feature on the Notre Dame-USC football rivalry. Last year, he authored the book Teddy and the Gipper, A Notre Dame Friendship, and now his newest book is releasing, called Vision, Values, and Victories, Notre Dame-Style Leadership, Forging Champions in Faith, Character, and Commitment. He was the guest on this show 6.5 years ago, way back on episode 11. Welcome back to Catholic Sports Radio, Len Clark.
Hi, Bruce. How are you doing? I was just wondering, how long ago was it that we had a chance to have a conversation? And you answered that question. 6.5 years, but boy, it doesn't seem that long, but then again, it does.
Yeah, the show was just a baby. Well, thank you for making time to talk with me today. We will do our best to not rehash the same content we covered the first time you were on the show. And audience, if you feel you are missing out, so to speak, I encourage you to go all the way back to episode 11 of this show from April of 2019 and listen to the first conversation that Len and I had back then. But Len, one thing I know we would not have talked about 6.5 years ago was AI. And here you are in late 2025 covering Notre Dame athletics, helped by AI. What does that look like?
Well, it looks very exciting to me, but AI has been around since the 1950s. The version that we're familiar with today is the AI that everybody is raising their eyebrows. There's, you know, if going back 10 years ago, Alexa, Amazon Alexa is a form of AI. But with the release of ChatGPT by OpenAI a couple of years ago, that has really opened the floodgates of this new medium, if you will, that I have really adapted to, because if I want to consider myself an educator of the next generation of multimedia journalists, I have to stay ahead of them. And I've embraced it and have really having a lot of fun with it.
So in what way do you use AI for covering Notre Dame athletics?
Well, let's just go back to last year. It was the 100th anniversary of the famous Outlined Against the Blue-Gray October Sky game that was written about by the famous sports writer Grantlin Rice. I wanted to do something to spotlight him because they were also playing in New York City at Yankee Stadium. And I said, what can I do? So I found Grantlin Rice's voice. I used AI to remove the noise to make it sound broadcast able. And then using another AI tool, I cloned his voice, used AI to help me write a story in his style, a current Notre Dame, covering a Notre Dame football game contemporary, and then he would read it back.
Wow.
And then, Bruce, I even did a video of it, but that looked a little bit too creepy. So all last year, he would read the story that was written in Grantlin Rice style. Now, I was very open and authentic in saying this is what I'm doing to honor it, honor the great writer in the 100th anniversary. But it just showed me the potential of this new medium. And I know a lot of people are looking at the downside of it, but I tried to say, no, let's look at it in a positive light. And I've been really excited about incorporating the various tools into my coverage of Notre Dame athletics.
Are those recordings that you just referred to available somewhere for people to go listen to?
Yeah, you can actually go to my YouTube channel, go to the Lens Zone, do a search on that, and you can go back. And the last one I did was the national championship game, and Grantlin Rice kind of gave us a downside story with Notre Dame losing the national championship game to Ohio State.
Okay, and again, audience, like his first name, the Len Zone is where to look on YouTube. Sadly, we do talk about adversity a lot on this show, hearing guests share their witness as to overcoming something, usually the Catholic faith being the common thread of what helped them through it. Len, we are going to be talking about your two books today, but before we do so, first share with us the story of what led you to write those, meaning you having to deal with unexpected situations.
Well, adversity is part of life. It's the way that you respond. And it's been my Catholic faith that has really gotten me through some tough times, especially in the past couple of years. So I don't know if you knew this, but a couple of years ago, I was invited to go teach at Virginia Tech to help lead their sports communication program. And I was really excited about that. I had been helping an organization that covers Notre Dame athletics for about a dozen years. And they said, you know, don't go, don't go. And I really, really wanted to test this. But my mother got sick. And I'm about 13 hours away. I live in the Chicago area, and that was a long way. And I just decided, you know, maybe I need to go home. And so the organization I had helped consult said, hey, come on back. And I was really excited about that as well, because they were opening up the next season in Dublin, Ireland, and I have a strong affinity with Ireland. My girlfriend lives in Ireland, and I was looking forward to the upcoming game at Dublin. And using AI, I wrote a guide to Dublin for fans, and a friend of mine works at Jameson, and they donated about $2,500 worth of product. Another friend of mine owns a pub, and we had two pubs for our affinity group to come over.
Wow.
In addition to having Aer Lingus give our whole staff airline tickets.
Wow.
And so I am living the dream, and I'm back at home, and I'm helping my mother. But start of fall camp, a good friend of mine that I was working for said, you know, hey, you're going to have to do everything this fall camp. And I thought he was sick. I didn't learn until 4 days before the Ireland game, after the Marcus Freeman press conference, that I was fired. Basically an ownership change, and was told that an intern can do what I can do.
Oh.
And so no severance, even though I had a contract. And I, first thing that went through my mind is, how am I going to help my mother?
Yeah.
So now it turns out she's helping me. So to kind of make a long story short, it really, you know, like everybody does, you know, why me? But, you know, my faith got me through it. It's like, what can I do to get out of this? Now, it pulled my credential, and now I can't cover Notre Dame athletics. So I reached out to some friends. I only missed one game because Network Indiana, of the largest radio newsroom in the state of Indiana, said, we will help you get credentialed. And the local high school where I went to high school allowed me to substitute teach. So I had a little bit of income and to do something. But every night when I went to bed, right before I went to bed, I gave myself an hour. I said, what can I do to keep my head above water? I'm tired of bobbing in the water. And I said, well, you know, a couple of years ago, about the time we did our first interview, I started jotting down some things on a historical fiction book about a young boy and his affiliation with Notre Dame. I dusted that off, and that was the first book that really helped me through a dark time.
Wow.
And also, it led to the second book, Vision, Values, and Victories, Notre Dame Style Leadership, because the inspiration of the founder of Notre Dame, Father Edward Soren, and President Theodore Hesburgh, and Coach R. Parsegian, these idols of mine, they were the example that I know the adversity they went through, and it was minor, or mine was minor compared to those. And so it was using their leadership to guide me through some turbulent times.
Well, and let's face it, audience, you can clearly, I don't even have to recount what Len just described for us, but you can see that the Holy Spirit was clearly moving in everything that he just described. And we say there's no coincidences and everything happens for a reason, and you can see that. It's God's reason, and it's the Holy Spirit's intervention that the events played out the way that Len just described. And I'm glad that you mentioned something in there, Len. You told me in the lead-up to today that you spend a considerable amount of time in Ireland. In America, we very often hear the term Irish Catholic. Tell us about your view of the Catholic faith in Ireland.
You know, the great thing about being Catholic, and the word Catholic, it means universal. So I can go anywhere in the world and go to a Mass and know exactly where I am in the Mass. And that's the great thing about our faith. And I've been to a couple of Gaelic Masses where I don't understand the language, but I know where we're at in it. To describe the faith in Ireland is, it was refreshing. It reinvigorated my faith. It was a little bit different. They're very devout, but there are some differences, but I have to say, it just being over there made me even prouder to be a Catholic. And I was over there this past summer when Pope Leo was announced, and everybody came up to me, an American. That made me even doubly proud, because they were saying that might be an Irish guy too. So it was a win-win for me.
Yeah, and in fact, audience, I had looked up in preparation for this interview about Roman Catholic faith in Ireland, and in the 2022 census, 69% of the population identified as Catholic. Obviously, that makes it the largest religious group there, but I thought it would be interesting perspective for an American and what they see in our Catholic faith with as much time as Len does spend in Ireland. Len, share with us about a course that you are developing to be taught to university students and the mix of faith and sports there.
It's something I've been working on just as long as the book, because the title I had 35 years ago, I never started writing it, but spending a lot of time in Ireland, and Ireland is the land of saints, and everywhere you go, there's a holy well or a reference to a saint, and it's just a spiritual place. And so I really wanted to do something. And there is a connection between Notre Dame and Ireland in the town of Ademus, County Mayo. That's where the rosary priest was from. And I have a friend who was a priest who was over there and kind of helping run that. And I said, it would be great if I can tie in everything I like to do in Ireland. I like to walk the pilgrim paths. And I actually completed all the five pilgrim paths and received this Gaelic title for being it. I was only the eighth American to do it.
Wow.
But what inspired me is when I think about leadership, leadership is about accomplishing something. And I always said, if you're going to teach leadership, get out of the classroom. Have something that something can be accomplished. And so my goal is to create a short experience in Ireland to bring somebody over and to walk one of the pilgrim paths.
Wow.
And in addition, I do a lot with the DISC assessment. So it would be tying in with DISC, getting to know people on the walk, but more importantly, much like you, hearing somebody's story and trying to help them as we are both heading toward the same destination. It's not the completion of the journey. It's just an accomplishment to help people keep going in their journey of faith or whatever they're looking to do on that kind of a retreat.
Yeah, and let's face it, there is some level of fitness involved in doing that type of walk. And leadership, our minds in the sports context automatically go to coaches and not just head coaches, because certainly in a sport like football, you really rely on, you really look up to position coaches, coordinators, that type of thing. So this very much has a faith in sports aspect to it from my point of view.
You're exactly right. And in order to lead others, you have to learn how to lead yourself. And I do in the book actually go into a little bit about nutrition. I'm not a nutritionist, but just some guides just to kind of keep people on the same frequency or in the same pew, if you will, to keep them motivated in their leadership journey.
And let's start getting into your two books. First is Teddy and the Gipper, A Notre Dame Friendship, which received second place in last year's Catholic Media Association's Book Awards for self-published fiction book. You mentioned it a little bit already, but tell us more about that book.
Well, it's the story of a boy named Teddy, Teddy Flynn. In 1919, he's 9 years old. He lives in Chicago, but his father, a first-generation Irish-American, grew up in South Bend. His dad's an engineer, and he gets a job at the Studebaker factory, which was located in South Bend, Indiana. So he's 9 years old. He plays second base on the baseball team. He doesn't want to leave, but he has to. He moves to South Bend with his dog, Snacks, and there's a little story behind that. And they move in with his paternal grandmother, and his grandmother encourages him to go out to visit Notre Dame, and the first person he meets is the famous George Gipp. Now, this is Notre Dame historical fiction. The only fiction is the boy and the dog and their interaction. They are interacting with real individuals like Father Cornelius Haggerty, which will be my next book, a very interesting priest from Notre Dame back in the early 1900s. But there's historical fiction about the location, Notre Dame, Northwest Indiana, and some of the individuals like George Gipp. And here's something a lot of people don't know. George Gipp almost drowned in the St. Joe River and was saved by Father Cornelius Haggerty because he didn't know how to swim.
Wow.
Now, if he would have drowned, there wouldn't be no wooden one for the Gipper. And so this was really a labor of love. A local artist in South Bend did the illustrations. And this chapter was not included in the book, but we did a special chapter around the holidays. And so my goal, I'm doing some substitute teaching in the Portage, Indiana school system, is that I've introduced the book to young students, and I've asked them to write a chapter. And the goal is to take the best ones and come out with an additional chapter so that they can be first-time authors.
So cool. So cool. Audience, clearly you're hearing and will continue to hear about Len bringing the Catholic faith to the masses. I know that there are some of you that are looking for something you can get involved with too. Alliance Catholic Credit Union created Alliance Catholic Foundation to increase opportunities to minister to the community. If you're interested in promoting Catholic culture, become a friend of the foundation. When you join online, you will receive a welcome packet and have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org, federally insured by NCUA. Be sure to tell them, of course, you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Len Clark is here this week, and I know you all want to hear his thoughts on this year's Notre Dame football team. So yes, I will ask him. As I just did with the Alliance Catholic Foundation, let me remind you of something else that I shared on last week's interview with Austin Barron, who competed twice on NBC's American Ninja Warrior. I have been invited to a retreat in early December in Southern California, but as you know, this is a ministry for me. There is no budget, there's no staff, I don't get any income for doing this. So to be able to pay to go to a retreat on the other side of the country, to be able to cover airfare, lodging, meals, well, that can only be possible at this point with listener support. I have actually been told that I will be able to record interviews for Catholic Sports Radio there if I attend. So there is really a double benefit in my attending, which is the spiritual benefit for me personally, but then the benefit of getting more guests, more testimony to share with you. If you would like to support that, if you would like to help make it possible for me to go to that retreat in early December in Southern California, I ask you to kindly utilize the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to send in your contribution. If you would rather send a check through the mail instead of putting a credit card number online, you can write to me via Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net for details on getting your financial gift to me that way. Regardless of which of those two methods you use, as you have heard me do on past episodes, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode to express my gratitude to you as well for making a financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio. Or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to direct me to keep it anonymous. I'm grateful for your prayerful consideration as to this form of tithing to help me continue on in my walk with Christ and all of you through this ministry of faith and sports. Len, you were telling us about your book, Teddy and the Gipper, A Notre Dame Friendship, but that brings up the topic of what you call the blue-gold gospel. You have had a front row seat for many years to this. Can you explain to the audience what I'm referring to, the rituals of Notre Dame game day?
Well, I am a cradle Catholic. That means I've been a Notre Dame fan since birth. And everything about a Notre Dame football game has a reference to the Catholic faith. And that's why every time I step back on campus, you just have this feeling that you have to be bigger and better than yourself and be a person of service. When you walk into the classrooms, the first thing you see is the crucifix that dominates the classroom. But about the blue gold gospel, you know, there are rituals on game day, from the basilica walk, where the players make their way from the basilica walking through campus to celebrate the game or mass, if you will. The diagonal lines in the end zone that point 18 degrees by 42, which is the year that the university was founded. Players walking down and, you know, tapping the play like a championship sign coming out of the locker room. You know, this is a rhythm, just like in the Catholic liturgy. You know, we have these rituals, and they're at the point where they're very transcendent. It's sports meets faith, and this really inspires people. It uplifts them, and it just reminds us of a higher purpose, and it just makes it very special. It's not just a football game. It's a way of life. It's our faith being enacted in a game.
Wow. Wow. I love that. I love that. Let's shift over to your other book that is just now releasing, actually, called Vision, Values, and Victories, Notre Dame-Style Leadership, Forging Champions in Faith, Character, and Commitment. It's a long title, and appropriately, what I sense is a deep message. Tell us all about this newest book.
Well, it's a book. It's more than just football. It really spotlights the founder of Notre Dame, Father Edward Thorin, Father Hesburgh, who developed the university and brought it into the new century and made it a great university, and then Ira Parseghian, the football coach who kind of resurrected Notre Dame football. But the only real reference to football is that I laid the book out instead of chapters. I laid it out in press conference, pregame, first quarter, halftime. I've got a halftime pep talk speech, third quarter, fourth quarter, and postgame. And there are 60 chapters representing 60 minutes in a football game. Now, that happened by serendipity, and I'll tell you why. I ran into Kevin White, the former athletic director, who was promoting his book in Dublin as part of the Aer Lingus Classic, and he goes, "Hey, I really like what you're doing. I'd like to contribute a chapter." And I said, "Get the book in by the end of July." And he got it to me in August. That's why we're getting it out right now. But I really appreciate him and what he did and contributed to the book. But I was in a PhD course, and we were really looking at leadership. And I started to do a study on all these leaders out there. If you go to Barnes & Noble, you'll see one prominent author. You know, he's written like 25 different leadership books. And then I started looking at various leadership programs. And the ones that really were very interesting were the ones that were done by ex-military, like Mark Divine, a former Navy SEAL, or John Foley, a former Blue Angels pilot. I was really intrigued by that, but I didn't serve in the military. I was not a Navy SEAL or a Blue Angels pilot. Mm. And I started thinking, I said, what resonates with me? What has helped me? What leadership examples have I seen? And it just kept going back to Notre Dame, where I did my graduate work. And I said, this is something that I want to explore. And so another Notre Dame graduate, another sports writer, Red Smith, and they asked him about, how do you write? He said, you sit down at a typewriter and you open up a vein and you bleed. Mm. And that's what I did while I was trying to come out of this depression, if you will, my faith being tested. But it was my faith that got me through, by the Holy Spirit saying, here are two things that can make a difference. You know, go after it. And so I wrote a book that kind of appeals to children up to the age of 80, and then writing this book on Notre Dame style leadership that I hope will make a difference to individuals who really want to lead in a Catholic manner.
Let's do something important here. Around this point in an interview, I will usually tell the audience that I will put a link on the show page for that guest's episode on the show website, CatholicSportsRadio.net. But in your case, Len, your website is geared towards helping businesses and not where people should go if they're looking for one or both of your books. Am I right? Do you want them to go to Amazon? Because I also don't want the uninitiated to get hung up on my having said that it was honored in the self-published fiction book category at last year's Catholic Media Association Awards.
Well, they can actually, I'm on the website that all the books are spotlighted. So ndleadershipbook.com is a place for individuals to go. And as I said, the book just came out. It's kind of like a textbook. It's a little bit expensive. I had no say in this thing, but listening to your story, I'd like to help you out as well. So if anybody would like to buy the book or Teddy and the Gipper, I will donate a portion of every book to help you in your ministry.
Wow. Wow.
All I have to do is just mention saying, I heard you and Bruce talking, and they should have got together at that podcast convention in Chicago, where we would have hashed this out a long time ago.
Thank you. Thank you. And give that website address again, because I was referring to your media company website. So I want people to know about this one.
ndleadershipbook.com is where they can purchase the book. But if individuals just reach ltcmedia.org is a website that has a little bit about what I do. I work on an ad hoc basis and got many irons in the fire and juggling many balls at one time. And right now, the one I'm really juggling is this Notre Dame football team that seems to be an enigma.
So, audience, I will put a link on the show page for Len's episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the ndleadershipbook.com website so that you can go directly there for his books. Let us talk about sports as we get set to wind down. At the end of June, on episode 335, Bob Zito talked on the show about NIL deals, and then so did Jay Paterno 1 week later on episode 336, which came out on July 7th. Len, you and I are Facebook friends, and you recently put up a post that said, quote, the NCAA Division I Administrative Committee on Wednesday adopted a proposal to allow student athletes and athletic department staff to bet on professional sports, a shift in the long-held policy that had become difficult to enforce with the spread of legal sports betting in the United States. Well, let's see where this goes, end quote. As evidenced by the Bob Zito and Jay Paterno interviews that I referenced, college athletics are really venturing into a whole new area these days. So give us your opinion, Len, on what I just read, that post that you put on Facebook.
That was a knee-jerk reaction when I saw it. I wondered if it was true, and I was hoping that it wasn't, because this is the wild, wild west of, we don't know where this is going to shake out. I think Congress was going to have something to us regarding NIL, but we haven't seen anything yet. But I'm an old school person when it comes to college sports. I was never a big fan of paying the student athletes up until the 1990s, because they were getting an opportunity to play for their school and have room and board and a scholarship and get a free education. But now it's entrepreneurial and good for them, but I really don't know where this is shaking out. And Bruce, the one thing I hope it doesn't do is the last thing of my childhood that I hang on to is Notre Dame football, and I don't want to hear any of the downside. But this might take it down that rabbit hole where it's not the same Notre Dame football that I remember as a kid.
And audience, my opinion and 5 cents will get you a cup of coffee, as a former coworker of mine used to say. But never mind the athletic department staff part. If you think of a student athlete being allowed to bet on professional sports, let's just say that it's a football player and he bets a lot of money on an NFL team, a lot of money, and loses, and then that team drafts him. You don't think he's going to have a little bit of a bad taste in his mouth for that team? And I know that's a long shot. pardon the betting pun. But you can see where these things can manifest, and this can be some water cooler discussion for y'all who are listening to this to talk about tomorrow. But, okay, Len, we have to close by having you talk about the 2025 Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team. At the time that we're recording this, they have won four straight after having opened the season with back-to-back losses. What is your state of the union for this year's team?
Well, two losses early on, a reality check for Notre Dame. This was a team that was expected to get back to the college football playoff, and now their backs are up against the wall, but they're playing their best football all season long. You've got a great new quarterback, C.J. Carr, who leads all freshman quarterbacks, FBS, in passing and touchdowns. You've got a great running game. But they've got USC, a traditional rival, maybe for the last time because of the scheduling conflict with the Big Ten. This is going to be a game that is really going to really be the measuring stick on how this team will do. Now, every game is important, but you have to take it game by game. But I think if Notre Dame can get over USC and take it game by game, I think you'll see them back in the college football playoff.
And note, audience, when Len said this, okay, I believe that game will have already happened by the time this interview comes out, Len?
Yes.
So, audience, the point there being that I don't want to say you heard it here first, but in other words, Len is not influenced. He's not reacting to what the outcome was because we don't know it at the time that we recorded this. Len, great to have you back on the show. Congratulations. I'm going to say on the two books, since it's been a while and we didn't talk since the first one came out. Best of luck with both of them, and thank you so much for making time to be back on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Audience, let's close with our sportsman's prayer and do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.